Welcome to Horsefly Chronicles Radio with Julia and Philip Siracusa. Sponsored by Carnation. Airing live on United Public Radio Network on 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. This show's opening has been produced, edited, narrated by Gwen Luckett at gluckett.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Monday night segment of Horsefly Chronicles Radio with myself, Julia Siracusa, and Phil Siracusa. We're broadcasting live from the United Paranormal Radio Network on 105.3 FM and 107.7 FM from New Orleans. We're also live on Roku, so you can watch us live from your TV. We're fully sponsored by Carnation, so we want to thank them for their sponsorship. You'll have to do a few things in order to participate and chat. Go to the YouTube channel, UFO Paranormal Radio. You can go to all of our Facebook stations, UFO Paranormal Radio Network, UFO Undercover with Joe Montaldo, News on the Flip Side, Twitch, SoundCloud, Podbeam, and of course, Horsefly Chronicles Radio on Facebook. And if you have any questions for our guests, please ask. So tonight, guys, we have another amazing guest. So please welcome Neil Packer to the show. Neil is the owner of the Haunted Antiques Paranormal Research Center in the UK. He's been researching the paranormal for over 12 years. He has his own paranormal team before concentrating on haunted items and objects. HAPRC has been open for just over 5 years. And in June, he's starting his very own paranormal channel on Roku TV, which is going to be an amazing opportunity to show the world what they are so passionate about. So please, let's welcome him to the show.
Welcome.
Hi.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for coming on. So Neil, what we always like to start from the beginning, what drove you into, you know, the paranormal, the research, and, you know, did anything happen to you as a child that made you interested?
Yeah, well, when I was a teenager, I was out in the local field camping. In the middle of the night, I got out of the tent and I saw a woman with dark, long, flowing black hair with a light white flowing dress on. And she was sort of gliding across the field towards me. Obviously, I was about 13 at the time, so that scared me a bit. But later on, so I never talked to anybody about that experience. But later on, when I got older, it was a well-known story that this lady was committed suicide on a wedding day because she was jilted at the altar. So I did some more research about that a few years ago, and found out who she was and where she's actually buried. So my medium of the team and I went to do, and we did a live feed at the suicide burial plot at the local church, and we communicated with her. That's where my initial paranormal experience started. But then, like most people in the UK, we started watching a series called Most Haunted about 20 years ago. And that sort of piqued my interest then. And then I wanted to go to haunted locations and experience it for myself.
When you say you talked to her,
yeah,
what kind of communication did you get back from her? What kind of response?
Well, it's a bit of an emotional story, actually, because she was actually coming to me because she knew my energy. It turns out that in a previous life that I was her fiance that jilted at the altar. But it turns out on further research, I actually died the night before. So, and that's why I didn't go to the wedding. And Jane was talking to her, and I talked her through the dowsing rods. I like the dowsing rods. So we got lots of information about her then.
So through the communication, did she tell you what it's like on the other side?
She hadn't gone moved over. She was waiting to find me. And she'd been waiting 200 odd years. But then at the end of it, Jane helped her move on because her family members were waiting for her. So she moved on.
So she left the physical plane and went into the spiritual plane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Through your research of the stuff you've done with paranormal, can you tell people, you know, what's the biggest validation that you've gotten from the other side?
What research? We've researched and found the answers to be true, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Well, in the building that we got now, the center, we call it the center. The first night we were there, Jane picked up on an old cobbler in spirit, and we've researched him in the local records and found out that he actually lived in that building. His name was Henry Ragg, and his cobbler shop was on the ground floor, and we found out the year we were born and found out all the actual facts about him. So that was the best validation we've come across so far.
Wow.
Interesting.
I want to talk about your you have a new TV network coming on Roku, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So what is that about? How did it happen? And it's a very exciting chapter for, I'm sure, everyone on your team.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's a lot of work. The way it's come about is because we class ourselves as a research center, we question everything. We question Ouija boards, we question demons, we question everything. We used to do live feeds from all the work that we did. But I believe our work deserves a bigger audience. So we've got on Roku, and that starts next Tuesday. The channel's called Ghost Planet Network. It's not just our shows, which we do quite a few, but it's other smaller teams who do good quality videos on YouTube but don't get recognised, because that's just YouTube. Unless you've got a huge following, people can't find their videos. So I like to champion the smaller teams. I'm giving them the platform to show their work on our network as well. So it's very exciting for us and them.
Wow,
that's exciting. What with that?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at your website, and it kind of like tells us all the different shows. Are those all the different topics of what's going to be on the channel?
No, there's going to be more. We could do have a new website being built as we speak, just for the TV channel. We do our own shows, like we do Haunted Objects. We do a show where an individual investigator investigates my building in the dark with just it's pitch black. All he's got is the viewfinder and the night vision camera to see how they react to situations. We're going to look at a haunted building in Leicestershire where I live, and of course we've got the demon connections where we communicate with demons.
You communicate with demons?
Yeah.
How?
Jane, who's the medium of the center, she invites the different demon every episode. We're going through the 72 demons of the Lesser Key of Solomon. So Jane invites them, and if they want to come, they'll communicate with us.
Huh. What does the demon tell her?
Pardon?
How does the demon communicate through her? What does it tell her?
They talk through Jane, or we use a board. It's called a Pathfinder board. We use that, or we use dowsing rods, or we use whatever equipment or ideas that we got for that particular night.
Wow. And how can you tell the difference between, you know, something demonic and just a very, very, you know, evil spirit? I mean, because there is, you know, how can you tell the difference?
Well, Jane can sense the different energies. When we're doing the demon connections, she asks all the spirits of the building to step back. So we're only focused on that entity that Jane invites in. And they just talk to her and say who they are and what they're about. And it's a fascinating series. It's not what you expect.
Wow. I mean, that's exciting. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. And you said it's coming out Tuesday. This coming up Tuesday?
This June the 6th, it starts. The channel starts on Roku. So we've got, I'm slowly putting all the programs on there. You know, we've got about 35 or 37 different shows on there already. They're not just our shows. You know, I've got five episodes of the Demon Connections on there already. So people will be able to tune in and watch the first five. Plus, we've got the Paranormal Blackout, where investigators investigate the centre in the pitch black to see how they react to being in the dark with just a viewfinder to see by. And it's really exciting. It's the sort of shows that I'd like to watch. There's no drama involved in them, because I think a lot of TV paranormal shows, there tends to be a lot of drama.
Yeah.
And of course, production companies insist on activity. And if you're a paranormal investigator, you know full well some nights you can go out and get absolutely nothing.
Yes.
So it's, although the TV shows, paranormal TV shows now are focused on the general public because the general public don't really know. I think the shows that we're getting on are more aimed at paranormal investigators because they know really what it's like. You can go to the most haunted building in the country and get absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we say that all the time. It takes so much. It takes a lot of time. It's not, a lot of people think they can go into a location and a few hours come out with all this evidence, and that's not necessarily true. Phil and I are big believers in you really need to spend at least a day or two in a location to really get something, because they're not always going to show you themselves.
That's right.
I'm still interested in the demon communication. I mean, with an intent to communicate with a demon, what makes the demon just go away and not communicate anymore, not affect the person, the host that's trying to communicate? I'm getting lost with that translation.
Okay. The way it works is Jane has got an invocation from the world of spirit. So the world of spirit has given Jane how to invite a demon or summon a demon, however the terms you want to use. And when they come, they'll just answer any questions that we throw at them. No one has ever been affected by one. You know, we've actually filmed 28 out of the 72. This has been a long process. So we've actually communicated with 28 different demons out of the 72. Not once have any me or my team felt threatened by them. They've given us all the information that we've asked of them. But you've got to remove religion and Hollywood away from this series, because it's not religious, it's not Hollywood dramatics. It's real.
It's raw and intense. Yeah.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying.
No, if you're interested to watch the Demon Connections, and you're expecting The Exorcist, you're going to be disappointed because it ain't like that.
Well, I like that because people, you know, people need to be educated on that. So
that's I firmly believe that's what we're doing. When I first announced that we're going to do this, a few people in the UK sort of said they were disgusted with me to do it. We were going too far. But it's something that we felt that we needed to do for our own journey. We want to know about who these demons are, where they've come from, what their aim is. And I think we are finding that out. But like I say, if you watch the Demon Connections and you're expecting one of my team to be lifted or dragged across the ceiling and that sort of thing, not how it is. It really is.
I say that, you know, they're more, I would say more mind manipulating hauntings too, because that's what the demonic likes to do. They do like to mess with your mind. So,
well, you know, what's interesting about this is, a lot of singers and people who've made it to the top, and again, I do not condone this, just want to put it out there. Mm-hmm. There's always a backstory, and some of the backstories are that they worship the devil, Baphomet, Goatman.
Yeah.
And I wonder, through your partner's communication, how these demons are able to give these people the rise to fame. Because it's quite common now. It's quite common. And, you know, it was the Global Awards that we were watching. They're all dressed up like demonic looking figures, and it's becoming more popular. And again, I do not condone it, but what's your thoughts on that?
Personally, I think that's a load of rubbish. I don't think they're getting to the top. I think they're just exploiting that the sort of fear of demons. I don't think a demon are helping them at all. I just don't think they'll do that. I think people need to research about these demons. I think people tend to go on the religious side of it or the Hollywood portrayal of them and think that's fact. In our experience, it's not fact. You've got to go further back to find out where these demons come from.
Yeah.
Well, King Solomon's work, he worked with these demons by form of communication to help him.
Yeah, he asked them to build his temple.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So then, if that's true, think about what you're saying. If that's true, what you just said, then it's also possibly true that these rise to some of these stars that do come forward and admit it, that since they've been worshiping these entities, they've been gaining the ability of money, fame, and power. It's the same thing as what King Solomon was doing. It's just a new day and age. It doesn't mean that they stopped doing it. Demons, you know, it's kind of like an exchange policy with the intent of the soul of what you're asking for and what they'll do for you and what they want back.
Well, there's no proof that King Solomon actually did summon, is there? It's just what he wrote. But I'm not a Satanist. I don't worship Satan. We just want to find the truth.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't think, from my experience, the demons that we've communicated with, they would go and help people achieve fame and power.
There's 72 demons that were summoned up by King Solomon.
Yeah, well, that's the 72.
That's correct, because I know all about it. And each demon plays their own part with the communication and what they would do for him and what they do towards mankind. So with that, what do you think these demons come from?
I think you're talking different planets, different realms. I think they're more aliens than the
So you're saying the demons are aliens?
Yeah.
So demons build spacecrafts?
The demons come from they're ancient beings. They come from the time of the Anunnaki. They come from Enlil and Enki. They come from the beginning of time. They come from other planets and other locations.
In theory, they come from. Okay, that's in theory.
That's what they've been telling us.
In theory. Some people believe, if you go to religious beliefs, demons come from hell. Satan was casted out by God, right? And if we go to religious group, we do know that demons are real. They do exist. And we also know that aliens do exist. You know, the hard time I have and believe in is that a demon builds a spaceship that NASA's capturing on camera, these crafts, right? They're all over now, these crafts. And, well, I have a hard time understanding that they're doing it. Or is it another form of intelligence that we're actually calling a demon? We're mislabeling it. Because quite frankly, there's a lot of higher intelligence of beings out there that obviously we don't know where they're coming from.
Yeah, I think entities are being labeled wrong.
Yeah.
Some probably are labeled as demonic because humans need to label something. They need to put entities into a box. And if they don't know, if they don't understand what this energy is, they could well label it as a demon.
Right. That's true. Certain religions and cultures worship demons. And some are the most, the Catholic, the Christians, there's so many forms of religion that say, no, this is demonic. These are evil beings. So there's that big question mark, right? I mean, who are we we only know what we're told, but we know that they do exist. We know that aliens do exist.
Yeah.
We know there are other civilizations before us, like the city of Atlantis, and they still don't know who built the pyramids, and we still cannot build the pyramids. No matter what they say, they cannot build them, period. So then it tells you that the hands of time, somehow there's that reset button, right? Where everything just starts over again.
I think there's the reset button.
Amazing. It's definitely interesting.
Yeah. And then, you know, where do they go? Like, say you're in a location and, you know, you're able to get rid of it, just say, hypothetically speaking, where does it go? And, you know, does it go dormant? Does it come back? That's always a question too.
That's always a question. It's like you go into a building and you're expecting a particular spirit of a person there, but they're not there. So where do they go? We just don't know, do we?
Yeah. And then I feel like we always end up with more questions than answers. And I guess that's the great thing about the paranormal and aliens. You don't know. And you just don't know.
That's right.
Well, you know what's interesting is that a lot of people believe it, and I believe this as well, that your body is your borrowed suit in this physical realm. That's all it is. It's a borrowed suit. You just want to experience things here and learn life lessons through this journey, and then you go back home.
Yeah.
There's so much information that points to that being the truth. And when we look at it, we're all energy, right? So we're just transforming ourselves into things we want to experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then here we are in the suits now trying to communicate with things we don't understand, that we really don't know where they're coming from and what they're capable of. Which leads me to something else that's really big. You have a haunted museum?
Yeah, that's right.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
It's a building in the middle of Hinckley where I live. It's a small town in Leicestershire. It's a haunted building in its own right. There are spirits connected to the building, to the land. The building I'm in now dates back from the 1870s, but there would have been buildings before that. We've got beams in the building that date back to the 1600s. The town goes back to at least the 1100s. So there's different layers actually to the land and to the building anyway. And there's lots of artifacts in different rooms. There's different themed rooms. Like we've got the seance room, we've got the war room, we've got the dolls room, we've got the occult room and the attic room. And they're all just sort of different items in each room. We don't say they're all haunted. That's for research to find out. We have paranormal teams in every weekend doing their investigations.
Okay, what is one of the most, what is one of the haunted items that you do have?
One of the best ones is it's a World War II wheelchair.
Wow.
It's from a rehabilitation hospital that was in Devon. And that could have been sat in by dozens and dozens of injured soldiers and airmen and all sorts. So you're not just focusing on one entity connected to that wheelchair. There's multiple entities connected to that wheelchair. So that is one of my favorites.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine the energy.
So in the museum, do these objects do anything? Do they move? Do they communicate?
Yeah. We have lots of, like I say, we have paranormal teams in every weekend, and they have lots of communication by different methods, whether it's Ouija boards, whether it's all the different methods. We have caught dolls moving on their own. We've caught a ball moving on its own. We've caught shadows. We've caught footsteps. We've had so much activity. It's unreal.
Wow.
So when you caught it, was it on film?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we have CCTV cameras running 24 hours a day.
And this is what you capture? You capture things moving by themselves?
Yeah, we've captured quite a few with the cameras. And also when teams come, they bring camcorders, so they film their investigations. So they've captured quite a lot as well. So we've had doors open on their own, and we've had a mirror being picked up and smashed on its own. And that's all on camera.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating to you?
That's crazy.
Isn't that fascinating that these things can actually do this?
It is fascinating. I want to find out why they do certain things.
Where do you get a lot of the items from? Your antiques?
Well, we go around antique centres, antique shops around the country. Me and Jane will go, and if Jane finds something interesting, she can send some energy around item, we'll buy them. Or I've found lately, last couple of years, people have been sending me items that they've said are haunted. It tends to be dolls. So they say they've had activity around these dolls, so they send them to me. So then Jane will do her work, see if there's actually any energy around the item. If there is, we'll do more research. If there's not, we put it down to people's imaginations. They've been watching too much TV.
Yeah. Well, we definitely have a few things that we're looking to get rid of, right, Phil?
We have some of those haunted objects, that's for sure. Yeah. It's interesting, but and certain things are tainted, residual energy, it can be. It could be just that spirits connected to that object. And look at the Annabelle doll. I mean, it's encased, crosses all around and blessed, and there's a belief system that if those protections were not in place, that this thing could unleash evil. Now, I could tell you that not just from the movies or things to that nature, but objects can be tainted in a way where they can affect people. There's a lot of documented stories out there. The story of Robert the Doll is another one that's documented.
Yeah.
And it brings a lot of tragedy to people. And let's go even further back. Now let's go to King Tut, where they tampered with him when he was his grave, wherever he was put, and a chain of people died and were cursed, and their families were cursed. Therefore, that tells me, as a person, that the other side does watch, and you got to be careful. Respect people's property and things, because you don't know. Everything is not, there is no, I don't believe in a coincidence where all these people get affected. You know, even the movie The Poltergeist was based off of something.
Yeah.
All the movies, The Exorcist, based off of a kid getting possessed by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And it started with an artifact, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you look at it and you say, you know, haunted objects, they're good, they're entertaining, but we don't know exactly what it holds, what kind of energy it holds. And there's something people should see, respect, you know, take pictures, you can investigate, but always be careful of what you're doing or trying to communicate with, because you just don't know.
You don't know who's
attached to that specific object.
Mm. Yeah, there have been some nasty people.
Well, yeah. you also help children who have an interest in the paranormal too, right?
Oh, good.
We do, yeah. Again, this idea. The teenagers do dabble. Teenagers in the UK, I don't know, it's probably the same as America. The teenagers in the UK, they do watch the movies. They do watch The Conjuring. They have watched The Exorcist. Even though they're not old enough, they do watch them. So my belief is they will dabble. So I think if they get taught to not dabble, but taught to go into the paranormal properly with the proper respect and guidance, that will teach them how to do it properly without getting into any trouble. So we do teenage events at the centre. They have to bring a responsible adult with them as well. So we sort of teach them what, in our way, I'm not saying we know all the answers, because we don't. But I think if they follow our guidelines, they're not going to get into any sort of big serious trouble. Plus also some I've met some 15-year-olds or more grown up than some 30-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah I
don't know if it's the same in America. In the UK, some 15-year-olds are more responsible than some 30 or 40-year-olds. So that's what we're trying to educate the youngsters. Plus, they're going to be the paranormal investigators of the future. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's start them off right. Let's show them that Hollywood movies are just
Hollywood movies.
Exaggerated. It's that's not the way it is, real.
Well, that's really good, because these, you know, they need to learn how to protect themselves, because, you know, the paranormal is becoming very big. And like you said, the kids are more, they're opening up more. They're into it a lot more. It's accepted a lot more. And it's really good to have people that want to teach them the right way to do things and not the wrong way, the ways that we did things when we were kids.
Yeah, that's right. So. And again, you see, when I announced I was doing teenage events, I did get quite a bit of flack from some people in the UK saying I shouldn't be allowing youngsters to investigate the paranormal. But I just don't agree with that. I think we need to educate them, not sort of push them to the side, push them to the back and just ignore them and let them dabble.
Yeah, I think there's an age limit. Like if you're gonna tell me we're gonna bring like 5-year-olds, that I would
No.
definitely say no to that. But
No.
teenagers more,
Teenagers.
I would say I agree with you. They definitely should learn how to handle themselves.
Yeah, I think it's
And
important.
it's very important. It's very important. But it bothers me when we see investigations with little kids. I mean, that just it drives me crazy.
No,
Like,
we don't do that. They have to be teenagers with
yeah,
responsible adults as well.
that's great.
Yeah, because even like the Ouija board, it's just a board, right? I mean, it's
Oh,
made by like, Bacher Brothers, but it's the intent that you have to use the board, and it's the same intent you have to communicate with a demon or a spirit or whoever. If you have a strong enough belief and intent, something can come through, and it's not always good. And that's where there's a caution line of red tape. What are you dealing with here? I've seen a lot of stories where it doesn't work out so well, especially with the Ouija board. You have to be very, very careful with that. They sell it in stores like it's a game, because they want to make money. They don't care. They don't, they don't. Every store has a Ouija board, pretty much.
I guess what they
But let's talk about aliens too. What's your thoughts on? You gave me sort of your idea, but well, first of all, do you believe in aliens?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Because we have communicated with some aliens at the center. So
You've
I
communicated
sorry.
them? You've had communication?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, we've actually got a photo of a little alien that we caught at the center. And they drop by now and again to come and communicate and check up
Oh.
on us.
Okay, so do they tell you where they come from and what they do here? Because they are here, so what do they do here? What do they take? Are they responsible for the cattle mutilations with the laser technology? Because there's no blood when some of the cattle out here in the United States are being slaughtered and there's no blood, there's no trails of anything.
The ones that we've spoken to have never mentioned that. So they don't say a lot. They just basically come and watch what we're doing, and then they'll if we ask them a question and we say how you traveled here, they'll say different forms of transport.
Okay. And you can understand them.
Yeah. I don't know how. Well, it's not me, it's Jane who's the medium of the center. She understands what they're saying. So whether there is a universal language, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's something that we want to look into as well.
It's very interesting, and it's another thing that just leaves us with what? More questions than answers.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's more questions, but also I don't believe any government will come tr clean around the world and tell
No.
this people we're not alone.
No way.
Because then it would cause chaos. Religion goes out the window, right? Because we were never taught about aliens.
Yeah.
The whole Adam and Eve theory goes out the window. The
Yeah.
whole A cell goes out the window that we came from the ocean. So everything goes out the window. The chain of the ape man and the caveman goes out the window. And people cannot accept that because that everything that you were taught going back to the human race becomes a lie.
Yeah, and
But
the powers that be won't allow
that's
that.
true.
They lose control and they want control. It's whether it's the governments, whether it's the churches or religion, they want control. And if they lose control, they're finished.
I agree with you.
Yeah, so do
I
I.
agree with that. And there's more and more UFO sightings coming forward now. Everyone has a camera. Everyone has technology that we're capturing things, and there are no answers. And then you have people that fly our jets and say, look, We know what we're seeing, and it's not ours. And it's definitely not another adversary like Russia or China, because if it was Russia or China, well, Russia would have won that war in Ukraine a year ago when it started it, if they had that kind of technology. And China sure as hell don't have that technology, because this is going back the last 60, 70 years that these things can maneuver in the way. So they're not that far advanced than the United States. Therefore, it's something else, something otherworldly. And you know where it just bothers me is that people come forward and say, I've been abducted. I've had contact. And they're not taken serious. You know why? Because the governments around the world and the news stations that are controlled by the governments are puppets. Yeah. They have to keep their mouth shut. And they can't say. They can only let out a little bit at a time, but they never give you the truth. So the people who make the claims of being abducted become liars, and they're crazies when they're not. They're telling you what they're experiencing. And that's wrong. Towards humanity, that's wrong. That's wrong. Because you know what? You need to rewrite that book, and you need to let people around the world know we are not alone. We've never been alone. There's an advanced technology. This is where we get our fiber optics. This is where we get all technology from, and our advancements in the last 50 years from these other beings, that we're reversing whatever they have. That is a fact. You know, Area 51, they said for years it didn't exist. The government said there's no such thing as an Area 51. Up until recently, the last 5 years, they've come clean. It says, well, it does exist. Mm-hmm. Lies, all lies. We know it exists. We know because people have come forward and says they worked over there and they were hushed up by the government. So, you know, to the listener out there, these things are real. And people like us, we take you serious. And it's not about proving anything to anybody. We know what's going on. Maybe one day they'll show up in front of the White House, these other beings, or maybe there's a contract where they won't.
Yeah, I think there's probably an agreement that they won't. I think it goes above the governments as well, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. But it's interesting. It's real. You know, it ain't any person on the street now. Now it's our own military, our own people up in the spacecrafts saying these things are real.
Yeah.
People, you know, these things are real. This is not fake. We don't have an answer. Obama came clean and says, look, there's things we don't know what it is. Jimmy Carter came clean. Reagan came clean. He says, we don't know. We don't know what we're dealing with. We don't know, so we really don't talk about what we don't know. Maybe there's another form of government that is higher up that they're not saying what it is.
Mm. Yeah, I believe so.
When your friend communicates with them, is it through a form of telepathy?
Yeah, it's like she just gets the words and images in her head. So I would say, yeah, telepathy.
Wow. Out of all the cases that you guys have investigated, what was one of the most intense one?
The most intense for me personally was a house in Leicester, which is not far from where we live. It's called Wigston House. A really nasty human spirit in that building. He was affecting quite a few people that were with us, and that was really intense. We were actually having to take people out of the building because they were being overcome so badly. So that was an intense night.
Wow. That's insane. So I'm really looking forward to your new show on Roku.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I can't wait to see it.
What do you want people to learn from your show?
I think it's going to be real. you know, it's not a big production company saying you've got to do this, you can't do that, you've got to say this. It's real people investigating the paranormal, and they're just doing things that they love and enjoy doing. And like I say, it's a channel for paranormal investigators as much as the general public, because we know what an investigation is like, don't we?
Yeah.
Perhaps the general public probably just watch the TV shows like Ghost Adventures or Most Haunted in the UK and think that's what it's about, but it isn't really.
Yeah, that's true. Well, this hour has gone by incredibly fast, as always. We want to thank you for coming on tonight.
It's only 8:52.
I have
a few more questions. It's 8:52, so we believe we have 8 minutes left.
Okay, my phone
what
says...
What kind of devices do you like to use when you're paranormal investigating?
Sorry, what was that again? I didn't hear that.
What kind of equipment do you like to use while you're investigating?
I like to use the dowsing rods or a pendulum, but we've got two other members of the team. Amy likes to do the Esther's method, as it's called. I don't tend to like the spirit box. It's the noise really does my head in. But we will try anything, because the way we work, way me and Jane works, is she'll ask the spirits what they want to use to communicate with us. So they will tell Jane, say, for example, use the dowsing rods, because they find that an easy way of communicating. Other spirits will find the thermal camera an easy way of communicating, or a Ouija board. So that's how we tend to work. We'll try anything. You know, we don't tend to use mobile phone apps, but perhaps we'll do some research into them, because I don't think they've been proven to work yet. Well, nothing's been proven to work, has it, really? So I like my dowsing rods.
A lot of people like dowsing rods. I find them very interesting. They do work. It's definitely interesting. But dowsing rods were used to find water, if I'm correct, something to that nature. Way back in the day.
Yeah, that's right.
But then when you ask the spirit or whoever you're communicating with to move the dowsing rods to the left or to the right, and they do that, you know that you're communicating with something that ain't psychosomatic.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know full well it's nothing that I'm doing. I've actually even got a dowsing rod board where it's got letters and numbers on, and it's got holes in where the dowsing rods sit in. And my dowsing rods have got like a sleeve on. So I cannot move. I cannot make them move. No matter what I try, I cannot make a move. So when they move, when I've got the board out, that is perfect to me.
Yeah, I like dowsing rods. I like digital recorders too, where you hear voices from the other side you can't debunk.
We use voice recorders as well.
That's the best. Old school is the best.
Yeah, we also use. I've got an old fashioned cassette recorder. So I sometimes use that as well, because that's analog. It's not digital. So if something records on a cassette, you can't fake that anyway, can you?
No, digital. Well, that was what the Warrens used to use back in the Amityville Horror case, the Conjuring House. They used the cassette recorder.
Yeah.
And then you get photographs from back in the day that are quite interesting as well.
Yeah. I like Polaroid photo cameras, because it's difficult to with digital cameras. It's easy to fake it, isn't it? With something like a Polaroid, it's not as easy to fake a Polaroid picture.
Oh yeah, we were just talking about the Polaroids. how we should really start bringing that back into investigations. I think they are slowly, because you can't beat
Yeah,
that.
but
That
I think they're quite expensive nowadays, aren't they? They're
is
not like
very,
Polaroid
yes.
out heyday, and they were quite cheap.
Oh,
But
they're very expensive. That
the
is
film
true.
nowadays, and they're really tiny photos as well nowadays, from
Yeah.
what I've seen.
Very expensive. That is true.
Yeah, because they
Yeah,
don't
but
do that anymore.
Polaroids tell the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's for sure.
How many people are in your team?
There's four in my team. There's myself, Jane, who's the medium, Amy, and Ant. That's the core team. And we trust each other
Oh.
in totally, and we're all willing to push the boundaries and think out the box and try different things.
That's the best way to do it. I believe one day that
Yeah.
science and paranormal investigating will come closer together to understanding the truth of communication and validation to
Yeah.
the other side. We're getting closer now.
Yeah.
Where, today, look back 50 years ago, you told people you see a ghost, they'll laugh at you and you'd be mocked. But now people are more understanding and saying,
Yeah.
I think I've seen something too, or the corner, I can't explain it by the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
So it's becoming more known, people becoming more aware, and we're using different technologies to communicate with these spirits.
Yeah, that's
But
right.
you are the first person that I've had on my show that has someone that communicates with demons. So that's interesting. That's a whole different twist.
Yeah, well, you'll need to watch the Demon Connections on Ghost Planet Network next week.
I can't wait. I was gonna
Now,
say, I just hope it opens people's eyes to sort of think different to what they've been told all these years about demons.
Well, really quick before we end the show, what do you think they should learn that's different about demons?
Don't take any notice what the church says about them, and don't take any notice how Hollywood portrays them. And well, it's just basically making your own mind up. For years and years we've been told demons are evil, demons will do this, demons will do that. Just try and think differently.
I like that.
Interesting. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. Hey, really
My
quick,
pleasure.
can people find you on Facebook, Instagram?
Yeah, we're on Facebook under Paranormal Research Center. We've got a website which is hauntedresearchcenter.com. And that's all I use. Social media really does my head in, to be honest. So I don't use it as much
Yeah.
as I
Okay.
used to, because again, you're governed by what you can and can't put on there.
No, I know. It's terrible. It's terrible. Well, thank you for coming on tonight. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You've been a fantastic guest. I know it's in the middle of the night over there for you, so thank you for coming on.
It's nearly 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Special
Well,
thank
thank
you
you
to
so much.
Carmen.
You've been a great guest. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Special thank you to Carnation for fully sponsoring the show from day one. And please join us next week on the United Public Radio Network on 105.3 and 107.7 FM from New Orleans. And remember, we are live on Roku every week. So thank you guys and have a great night. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you, then bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.